This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Sharp Money, as we welcome you in on a Tuesday, I'm laughing because Amal Shaw and I'm Patrick Maher, were joking about Dustin Sweetelson falling in love at the long bar at the D as he was headed up to the broadcast there. Fremont Street, downtown Las Vegas, the boys, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, again, Sharp Money, I'm Patrick Maher. Amal, hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. I think I'm doing a lot better than Deshaun Watson is doing at playing quarterback right now, but everything else is good.
Yes, sir. We'll get to that. Defense delivers for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a 26-22 winner as they close dogs. So outright at home, a lot of stats to back up why we should have backed the Steelers. The big guy, he found love in a crazy place. What's cracking?
When are you going to step up in our friendship?
What do you? I'm so. Please back up. All I said was you found love. Now you're hitting on like what? What did I do?
Last night I had a couple good feels on a few bets, and then I had a couple I'm throwing out there. And like you step in when my eating's out of control. You step in when my drinking's out of control. You step in when things we can't talk about on the air are out of control for me. But I placed 7 bets between the 2 games last night, and at no point did you go, hey, Dustin, maybe dial it back a little bit.
I did, and just as a reaction, I don't know if you sent the jokes that you were blasting off on social media to Amal Shaw.
I did.
But you have to admit, you were like 5 for 5, which is absolutely, I guess I would say, inappropriate jokes, which we'll get to at some point on your social throughout the show. Was that the way to categorize those?
Yeah, I just realized I need to send one of those so we can use it later in the show, so I'm doing that as we speak. That's a good
yes,
idea.
Yes, you do. And yeah. I think that's about Najee Harris. So we should start there. Look, the game Amal Shaw was overshadowed by Nick Chubb's gruesome injury. The All-Pro suffered a significant injury, of course, the Cleveland Browns. Second quarter, already 10 carries, 64 on the ground for Chubb, who's great. I mean, he's gone over 1,000 yards last year, over 1,500 yards in 4 straight seasons. One of 5 players in NFL history to rush for 8 touchdowns in his first 5 seasons. He's averaged 5.3 yards per carry over his career. That's the 3rd best in the Super Bowl era. I'm building him up because he deserves it. That was horrible to watch Chubb go down, Amal.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, it reminded me of the catastrophic injury he had at Knoxville when he was playing for Georgia. And that was a devastating knee injury. And, you know, Patrick, we've talked a lot about running backs on this show in terms of the value and teams paying them, what the potential is for a running back. And you see arguably the best running back in the National Football League go down. Gosh, it only hurts guys like Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and other players potentially getting into free agency at that position. It just seems like it's only going to add to the devaluing of that position.
Yep, 100%. Chubb, that was horrible. Jerome Ford comes in, actually played pretty well. We'll get to the next step for the Browns and what they will do at running back. Is it going to be Ford moving forward? They're going to have to add somebody to the roster. But let's get into the game. I don't know what you two thought about the 2 games last night. It's not necessarily like if you're talking about San Francisco and their offense, it's kind of baroque where there's a lot of movements, a lot of irregularities. Last night, what we saw with New Orleans and Carolina and then certainly Cleveland and Pittsburgh, big guy, kind of straightforward offenses. Not a lot of action. Defense, as I mentioned, saved the day for the Steelers, which we'll get into. I don't think you can necessarily rely on 2 defensive scores moving forward if you're Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, who pick up a win in division 26-22.
Yeah, and I guess there is an issue at the border. And I'm talking about north of the border with a man named Matt Canada. Now, I think he's from America, but his last name's Canada. Do you think his family founded Canada? Is that how Canada came to be? But he's an issue. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's Kenny Pickett. But similar to some of the situations we discussed yesterday with like Justin Herbert and Brandon Staley. I don't know if it's Staley. I don't know if it's Herbert. But I know you can get rid of one easier than the other. So I think in this situation, Matt Canada is on borrowed time for what he's designing for the Steelers. I'm not a big Kenny Pickett guy. I think he's fairly limited as a passer, but the scheme has to be way more inspired than that if you want to move the ball consistently.
Amal, they opened with a pick six from Highsmith, first play from scrimmage, kind of closed the game with a scoop and score from T.J. Watt, who also, by the way, fellas, set the record for the Pittsburgh Steelers as far as sacks by an individual player. But that really was the story. Dustin Amal just brought up Kenny Pickett, 15 of 30, 222. A third of those yards come from your boy out of Georgia, a 77-yard touchdown reception. So, again, two defensive scores. Pickett was okay, had the long touchdown pass, and that really is the story for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, you're absolutely right. This is alarming. And, you know, there were chants yesterday of fire Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator we were just talking about. But and I love Mike Tomlin's statement in the Tribune Review. He's like, well, I don't begrudge the fans. And I think if things don't pick up very quickly, you could see some changes here. It's disappointing if you're a Steeler fan, Steeler backer, for them to have just this type of performance overall. I know they get the victory, but how many times are you going to sit there and rely on a pick six on the first play of the game and then a sack, fumble, scoop, and score? I don't know if the Steelers would have been able to get a touchdown if they just get the football and T.J. Watt's unable to score. Patrick, when you look at this team offensively, not a lot to, you know, be excited about. I know they get the 26 points, but again, from an offensive standpoint, 14 this week and then 7 the previous week, not a great job on the offensive side.
100%. And big guy, I know we're going to get to Tomlin, who spoke after the game. But if you add, and we'll get to the Cleveland side, we'll get to the losing side of this in just a bit. But if you add the four turnovers from Cleveland, I mentioned the two defensive turnovers, which is not, you can't rely on it. Obviously, it is a home division win. They're not going to apologize for it. But a lot needs to change for this Pittsburgh team moving forward offensively if they're going to make some adjustments and end up winning this division. You see, let's go ahead and throw up the odds, actually, boys, and take a look. I don't know if anything changes from yesterday. You see the shortened odds for the Ravens. They're now even money to win the AFC North. Amal Shaw, 2-0 in division. And you look at the rest, you've got a 1-1 Browns team at 330. You've got a Bengals team 0-2. Remember, started 0-2 last year, finished up 12-4, went to the AFC Championship game. So you can't write off the Bengals and the Steelers sitting at the bottom of them all, 5.5-1 in the North.
I tell you right now, I'd make a play on the Bengals. Plus 475, get the Rams at home.
I totally agree.
Get the Rams at home on Monday night. Look, Joe Burrow's status is a concern. However, if you beat them, you're at Tennessee. That's a very winnable game. You're at Arizona. That's a winnable game. You've got the Seahawks at home. Then you've got a bye. Great four-game situation coming up here when you look at it from the standpoint of the Cincinnati Bengals. Yes, it was a tough home loss, and you're 0-2 in the division. It doesn't mean that the Ravens can't have some injuries, and that's a team that's been besieged by injuries over the last number of years. To me, their schedule will get a little bit more challenging for the Bengals as the season progresses. But if you're going to take a shot, this is the appropriate time to do it. I think, again, you're not going to get these types of odds on a team of this caliber, generally speaking, to win a division this early. I think the overreaction is too much on the pricing. The Ravens will probably win this week against the Colts at home. And then they're at the Browns, at the Steelers, at the Titans. Three consecutive weeks on the road, guys. That's a good opportunity to make some money if you're going to take a team at plus 475 to win a division.
Totally get. We'll look to what's next for the Steelers and get the number. They're going to be in Vegas on Sunday night. Just to wrap up, again, a ton of overs. You had the split. Remember, Fezzik, professional handicapper, came on Sharp Money yesterday and said you'd probably be good if you went 1-1 on the overs. 13-3 on the week to the over. Cleveland and Pittsburgh does cash over the closer of 38.5. Again, Cleveland closed 2.5 on the road, big guy. An outright winner for Pittsburgh at home.
On your points about the division, we already knew this division was going to be a slog. It was going to be tough to get through. Whoever wins this is going to be pretty beaten up record-wise at the end. We don't expect a like 13-14 win team to win this division. It's just, it's really tough every single year. I think Amal's point and your point about the Bengals is totally spot on. You just buy low now, and if you miss, you miss. At 475, it's okay to miss, because here's the thing. Only six teams have made the playoffs after starting 0-3, right? If they lose to the Rams somehow, they'd be 0-3. 0-2 is a little more doable, and we've seen this team do it before, because Zach Taylor in his tenure there, they've started like 1-9 in weeks 1-2 since he took over the Bengals. They're used to slow starts, and we've seen them make deep playoff runs before. They are the exception to the rule.
They don't participate, the Bengals, to Amal's point at plus 475 in division, and why I like it with you, Amal. Obviously, we have a track record of them starting slowly, but they just don't participate, the Bengals, in the preseason. That's what they do. And remember, Taylor, off that McVay, which we discussed yesterday, coaching tree, and he has the same philosophy, although the Rams have started hot to start the year.
No, you're absolutely right about it. And to me, when you look at this team right now, look, Dustin just alluded to what Zach Taylor's done in his first first five seasons in terms of getting off to slow starts. I don't know, guys. Are you a buyer in the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think the answer would be no for you guys.
No.
I know you guys like the Ravens to win the division. I think it's a pretty good bet. But real quick, Patrick, I want to ask you, what's your take on Deshaun and where you come out on him and the Browns without Nick Chubb now? Even though Jerome Ford looks like a pretty good running back, people may not realize this kid was recruited to Alabama and then ends up transferring to UC and has done a nice job, but still, it's not Nick Chubb.
To answer your question about... Deshaun Watson, I think Baker Mayfield's playing very well in Tampa. How about the irony? Seriously, how about committing all of that to Deshaun and the irony? Your boy's actually balling down south in Tampa, and to flip it as far as, and we should have a conversation, boys. Kenny Pickett, and Dustin, you and I were having a conversation earlier, and I don't know where you stand on Pickett, Amal Shaw. We mentioned 15 of 30, a lot of it to Pickens with the 71-yard touchdown pass where he did everything on the little slant. Pickett, to me, it's almost like, where did he go? 17th, first round, first quarterback off the board. That felt like an as far as a pick for the Steelers, and he does feel like he feels pretty basic. Again, long way to go for the dude in his career. He feels like a basic quarterback to me.
Well, yesterday Dustin opened up with 7-1. Today he says to me, he goes, dude, your guy Kenny Pickett's not the answer. I mean, he's not wrong, but I hate admitting when I'm wrong on a quarterback, and I have to start to reevaluate where I sit on Kenny Pickett, because I got to tell you guys, I don't think the Steelers can compete in this division with Kenny Pickett at the helm.
The Steelers are at the Raiders coming up on Sunday night. We'll set up the number. We've had a flip there. And when we come back, we'll hear from Deshaun Watson, Mike Tomlin, and Frank Reich. Do we have to talk about the Panthers? Yikes. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, so we got a great contest going on. The VSiN shows are clashing. Can we throw Dustin's mic on? Because I want Sharp Money to win this contest, but I have no clue how it works. And again, I'm just getting back. I'm on more meds than Michael Jackson, so maybe I'm a little confused by this, but we've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN. At stake is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbook to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. So, to sweeten the deal for you, you're going to save 10% when you sign up right now for a VSiN Pro annual subscription and you use the promo code SHARP. Bragging rights are on the line, but there's my question and confusion, big guy. If they're using the code SHARP over at VSiN.com/subscribe to get an annual subscription, which you should do, how are we getting credit at Sharp Money and getting a $1,000 voucher?
If they use Sharp, we get the credit. It's simple as that. But, like, I feel like I needed more details to know that we were possibly going to get a $1,000 voucher for a Super Bowl bet, because I'll push this more. I'll go out and hand out flyers on Fremont Street.
I thought it goes to
the listener?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. If it goes, again, at stake, a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sportsbook to be used on Super Bowl.
But it's a contest between shows.
No, here's how I thought it works. Whichever show winds up with the most entries, assuming it's Sharp Money, which it should be, then all of a sudden, let's say we've got X number entered from our pool that used the promo code Sharp Money. Then those people are selected at a random. Let's just say use an arbitrary number of just say 100. And then one of those 100 is the people that are person that is selected for the $1,000.
Oh, play. One of them get it, not us. I was hoping we got it.
Bro,
make sure you sign up.
Did you get paid
right
last
now?
Friday? I don't even know if we did. Just make sure.
No, I
did, but it went to all the prop bets I had on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, by the way, Patrick, I had to chew this guy out this morning. We spent about 30 minutes. I said, yo, Sweetelson, you got to slow down on the number of plays, man. Pump the brakes.
Well, it's funny you said that because you both, and I should give you congratulations. I'll knock on wood here, and then we'll get back to the football. But both Amal Shaw and Dustin Sweetelson went nuts on Blake Snell, NL MVP. And it looks like you guys are good to go. So I want to congratulate you. I think, Dustin, you were close to 40-1, and Amal right there like 35-1. Am I correct there, boys?
Yeah, on the Cy Young.
Cy Young.
Cy Young. So even if that ends up cashing, I was talking to the big guy. So if he clears that, he's going to make a nice little pens. Sure. Like there's a nice sum coming back his way. It still not necessarily is going to cover all of the liability he has laid out for those future plays we discussed before the baseball season started. Dustin, defend yourself.
No, I did the math on it. And in the end, I needed to hit this bet in order. I'll be up. But I won't be up as much as, like, the effort, right, that I put into it. Now, I do have opportunities on some World Series and some playoff tickets that I have that will end up helping me and where I'll probably have to get creative with hedging and betting against on the other side of some of these tickets. I will end up slightly up, but in the end, it's like, all right, maybe things got a little out of control this summer. I'd win a few baseball bets. I'd take those winnings, and I'd put them on a few futures. And I'd win a few more, and I'd put them on some futures. Then I'd reload and put them on some futures. And I might have gotten a little futures crazy this summer.
Amal Shaw, can you do something about that?
Well, I tried to this morning. I told Dustin, I said, listen, why do you have so many plays? I said, find your two or three best plays and increase your amount on them instead of your volume. That's what you want. Listen, no bookmaker wants a guy to come in and make one play for $10,000. They'd rather you make 100 plays for $100 each. And I said, Dustin, you're doing the latter. I said, let's be a little bit more selective. He goes, well, you know, I'm not sure on my best play. I said, trust me. I said, just be cautious, find your best play, and bet on it. Don't worry about sitting there because, making every play on the board.
Because he's an extremist. He's all about satiation in every aspect of his life. You should ask him what he did on Saturday night in between the games. Don't do it on the air. And he is constantly looking to be satisfied in every aspect of life, and he likes gratification. And the bets constantly hanging out there with question marks provides gratification throughout the days. Where did I lie?
Well, I would say I've never seen the movie Sophie's Choice. I actually don't know if it's a movie or a book, but I imagine the choice that Sophie had to make was between her bets. Because when I looked at all eight of my college football bets this weekend, you know what I said? I love all of you equally. You are all my children, and I want the best for you, and I think you're all going to be winners. That's how I viewed my bets. I can't choose which one is my favorite because they're all my favorite. That's why I bet them.
I can tell you one thing.
Defense was the difference maker for the Steelers. My goodness, where is the show going? Again, total yards to Cleveland, 408, big guy in a mall, 200 on the day for Kenny Pickett and the Steelers. Mike Tomlin kind of got into a back and forth with a reporter defending Matt Canada, Kenny Pickett, and the Steelers offense.
And throw him to the slow start of Kenny Pickett. It seems like it's starting to be recurrent. They talk about Matt Canada, but I don't think it's all on Coach Karen. I think the slow start of Kenny has to take its own responsibility.
Question. What's the question?
Question is, are you doing anything to spur them or either one of them to kind of maybe up the ante a little bit?
Certainly. You know, we got planning to do next week. It doesn't make sense for me to divulge it in this setting. We got a game coming up in 6 days. We'll let that do our talking.
I'm a huge
Dude, who Mike. Let your boy in asking questions? Who was that?
He didn't ask a question. He made a statement.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I thought watching that clip, though?
It was declarative.
Yeah.
He didn't ask anything.
But how about Tomlin in the moment?
Let me tell you about your team.
Tomlin in the moment. What's the question? There's like, he is so secure and like, I don't know how to, to me, he's presidential. Like, if there was an NFL coach that could run for president, it's Mike Tomlin to me.
Well, he still had, in my opinion, one of the greatest responses in the history of coaches. In his second year, somebody like Hines Ward said, you know, we think the coach is better, blah, blah, blah. And somebody asked him the question. He goes, what do you think? Your players think you're doing a better job. He goes, what do you think about that? He goes, how do you think the job your editor's doing? You think he's doing a good job? And I love what he said.
He was, when he just retorted with question, that was classic. I love Mike Tomlin, who's already a Hall of Famer. I don't think the next guy we're going to discuss is headed to the Hall of Fame. And we kind of clowned him a little bit. Can we have a Najee Harris conversation? I texted Dustin Amal during the game, you have more burst than Najee Harris. And he responded. Now, Dustin, I'll let you set this up, but go ahead. You responded with this text to me about Najee Harris.
Yeah, so there was this old thing that went around, Amal. Do you like toast? Just say yes.
Yeah, no, I do.
Which toast are you? And you could choose like warm bread, barely toasted, acceptable toast. Now you're talking, you're brave. And then I changed the name of the last one to Najee Harris because Najee Harris is toast.
He's burnt toast.
Guys, I got to tell you, it sure feels like he is. I mean, I was a huge fan of his when he was at Alabama and what he was able to do. But here's the problem. He had 638 carries in his Alabama career, goes to the National Football League, comes in, and in 3 years has 595 carries. So he's got over 1,200 carries in four seasons, really, because his first 2 years didn't play as much, and then his third and fourth year, and then, of course, his first two seasons. I mean,
he's 25.
That's why I'm saying, listen, it goes to Patrick's argument against running backs. I mean, finally, I've got to concede that he's right on that. I was kind of dying on the hill with my running backs, but now it's like, man, you put in Najee Harris, Nick Chubb gets hurt, the 18-wheeler looks like he's got a flat tire somewhere, and outside of Christian McCaffrey, everybody else is looking for a pit stop.
Najee Harris is not 25. He's 42 years old. When he takes off his helmet, that receding hairline, I mean, maybe he's an old soul, but that dude is burnt toast anyway. A winner for the Steelers at home. By the way, they open a point and a half. That number's flipped Sunday night at the Raiders. Amal Shaw, right now, as we look ahead, then we'll get to Cleveland. Right now, the Raiders are laying a point and a half. Actually saw a 2 out there in the market as well. Vegas hosting Pittsburgh coming up Sunday night with Raiders laying a point and a half.
Well, first of all, this is going to be like the Rams 49ers game. 70% Steelers at Allegiant on Sunday. And on top of it, I know it's a short week, quick turnaround, long flight towards Las Vegas, but guys, I'm not convinced the Raiders defense could stop a nosebleed. I mean, these guys are terrible. If you watched after Jimmy Garoppolo and them move down the field 7-0, they promptly get outscored 38-3. Nobody talked about it. Nobody cared because we all expected Buffalo to win that game. We saw it in Survivor. I think half the pool took Buffalo, and rightfully so. I'm just not a believer in this Raiders team. And now you're going up against still a very good defense. That's the difference for me. I think Pittsburgh's defense will be able to do enough. And now Kenny Pickett will look like a decent quarterback in this game playing the Raiders. I like the Steelers here as a dog.
You got a major coaching advantage with Tomlin over McDaniel. You mentioned that Allegiant Stadium is going to be filled. Amal Shaw, you and I have discussed this off the air. The best fan base in all of football, yeah, as far as professional football. No offense to the Cowboys and whomever you want to throw in there. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're ridiculous. They're going to travel. That's going to be a barn filled with Steeler fans, big guy. And we've seen the number flip, go through zero, Raiders a point and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take the under, but Amal's point about the Raiders' defense is a good one. Now, I don't know if Kenny Pickett has enough to put up a ton of points, but I'm leaning towards under or a first half under with that short week for Pittsburgh flying across the country. Maybe a little bit of rust coming out of the gate. I don't want to watch this game. I really, it's offensive to my eyeballs, and my eyeballs have seen some things. But offensively speaking, we're going to be watching a game basically played in 1991.
2 decades of losses by the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers continued last night. And fellas, they only have themselves to blame. When we come back, let's get to the Browns and look ahead as well. It's Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, get your splits, money, and bets for every game updated every 10 minutes straight from DraftKings. Today's games and future events as well over at VSIN.com. By far, the most popular betting tool are betting splits. Check them out, VSIN.com. I'm Patrick Maher. More importantly, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson live from the D Fremont Streets. Speaking of which, Mike Palm's going to join coming up in just a little bit. We've got Berkey Tuesday's Adam Burke. Tim Jenkins is going to join the show to talk some quarterbacks. And speaking of quarterbacks, boys, let's have the discussion, and that is Deshaun Watson. Overview on Watson. We'll get to them in just a bit. But I mentioned in the loss last night for Cleveland, Amal Shaw, only themselves to blame. You had the turnovers, the penalties, 8 for 81 as far as yardage. They had a 3-point lead with 7 minutes to play. You had the Highsmith strip. You had the scoop and score with TJ Watt. Watson was 22 of 40, 235. He had the touchdown. He had the pick. He had 2 unsportsmanlike penalties as well, which absolutely killed him. The Chubb injury kind of overshadows a loss that should have been a win for this Browns team.
I absolutely agree with you. And you know, it's funny, Patrick, there's only 17 games in the schedule. This is a critical game, division game, road game. You're going to get a return trip from Pittsburgh. What an opportunity blown here against a team who may get better offensively. Doesn't appear to be the case right now. But you want to take advantage of teams when they're not at their best, and Pittsburgh is far from being their best at this point. You mentioned it. Those 2 penalties by Deshaun Watson, that one on the sideline where he grabs the face mask. Like, what are you doing? I mean, seriously, I understand you want to stiff arm a guy, but come on, you got to understand where you're at in the field, what's going on. I'm just not a fan, and I'll tell you right now, the Browns have paid an obscene amount of money for a guaranteed contract, and a guy right now, if you were to evaluate just based on the first 2 weeks in the last 6 games of last year's schedule or season, Deshaun Watson right now looks like a bottom 12 quarterback in the National Football League.
I totally agree. It's a couple things. One, Big Guy, I'll let you set up the Deshaun Watson cut we've got coming. They've got Tennessee and Cleveland next week. We'll set up the number. Do you guys agree with the assessment? I'm just watching it and just eyeball test. He definitely has lost a step. I know he took 2 years off. I know he's still, 27 years old, so he's not old. But there is, and the one kind of sneaky quality about Watson, back to high school where he was one of the all-time greats in Atlanta. You know that, Amal. And then the Clemson, and now as a pro, as a Houston Texan before he had the issues, was he was a hell of a lot more athletic than he ever got credit for. Looks to me like he's lost a bit of a step.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who was a Browns fan last night. He said the exact same thing. He goes, remember, he would have been able to get out of these sacks with his speed. Couldn't do it. There was one play where he really did a nice job eluding the pocket pressure, stepped off to his right, and then gets sacked. I forgot who got him. But it was like one of those plays where you would expect Watson either to scramble for 5 to 10 yards or throw it down the field, but instead he gets gobbled up. And I think if you're the Browns, you're in serious trouble, and it feels like Stefanski's going to be besieged by injuries and by Deshaun Watson's inability to play at a level that they anticipated when they brought him over.
Okay, what do you got on the Browns, Big Guy, and set up Deshaun Watson here?
So I want you guys to think about this while you listen to Deshaun Watson. Remember, I'm just asking the question, but maybe. Do you think maybe we overrated Deshaun Watson a little bit based on stats because Houston was almost always trailing in games, so they were throwing to come back, and obviously when a team has a lead, their defense is a little different. Think about that when you listen to Deshaun last night talking about having to clean up some of his mistakes.
The forced fumble for a touchdown for them. You know, we can say this guy can do this, but I got to protect the ball. We're not going to put it on anyone else. You put it on me. I can take the full blame. I can take the criticism, and I'm going to do that. And I told everyone in our offense, the whole team, I'm going to do better for this team, for this organization, so we can win games like that. And I'm fine with taking the criticism, and I will be better.
Was there somebody behind him with the world's fastest clicking pen?
It was something with the audio.
Something about Deshaun Watson's performance just rubs me the wrong way, boys. Anyway, that was for Dustin Sweetelson. So the Titans come to town. 4.5 on the opener. Bet down to that key number of 3. Is that number going the right way, Amal Shaw?
I believe it is, simply because Tennessee still can defend without Nick Chubb. The Browns are a different team. Look, I like Jerome Ford a lot, but he's not Nick Chubb. He had a 69-yard run last night, which is tremendous. But if you take away the singular long rush in this game for Jerome Ford, he has 15 carries the rest of the way for 36 yards. And to me, you have to take that into the equation. You're not going to get that many opportunities to have 67, 68, 69 type runs in the NFL. And Patrick, when you look at it, this Browns defense, they played well. They continue to play well. But the way their offense puts them in tough spots with four turnovers, okay, you might reduce that to two turnovers, but I'm almost guaranteeing you're going to see a Deshaun Watson interception or a fumble next week for sure. It just seems to be a lack of, I don't want to say urgency, but a lack of just understanding of protecting the football overall with him.
Just to contextualize Nick Chubb and his impact, boys, 5 years is a pretty good sample size. To rush for 5.3 yards per carry over five seasons, Barry Sanders, the greatest of all time. If you take a look, my assumption is he's right around 5 yards per carry, Amal Shaw, and a lot of his runs were caught in the backfield, breaking 80-yarder. I get that, but Chubb has been remarkably consistent, and you two would agree, Chubb plays that full game, stays healthy. Cleveland wins. He already, early in the second quarter, had 10 carries. Remember, I went over the 17.5 attempts. I think we were going to get there easily. He already had rushed for 60-plus on 10 carries. They were going to win that football game if Chubb stays healthy.
Hey, you're absolutely right about that. You look at Nick Chubb career-wise, he averages 84.6 yards per game, but that's a bit deceptive because of his rookie year. In 16 games, he only averaged 62.3 yards per game. This is a guy that's really in the range of 88 to 90 yards per game. When you have a lead running back who gives you that many yards in a game, you're going to win the majority of them. Look, we devalue running the football, and rightfully so, but when it comes to killing the clock, controlling the ball, you need a horse like Nick Chubb. What I can't figure out last night, guys, and maybe you can help address this, when you look at the statistics, Patrick, the Browns had 20 first downs. That's a great number. But when you look at the number of conversions on third down, this team goes 5 for 16, 0 for 2 on fourth down, but they still wind up with 35 minutes and 28 seconds of game clock. Think about this. If you're in that situation where you have the ball that much, if you're actually converting, the Steelers would have been under 20 minutes in this game.
Stefanski is having an issue, and I don't know if you two agree with this. He doesn't seem comfortable playing calls for Deshaun Watson at quarterback. And your friend, and you nailed it, as far as him escaping pressure and still getting sacked, that's where he would always turn that into a first down. I think they got an issue. And I think the issue for the Browns is about to be highlighted and exposed without Nick Chubb, big guy. He was the bell cow.
Yeah, and And especially later in the year, right, when the weather's colder, when it's a little bit harder for a guy like Watson to ad-lib some plays out of the pocket, you need that guy to run up the gut between the tackles and play physical football. Without that, it kind of changes the whole dynamic of the team. So I guess my question for you guys would be, does it excite you that the Browns are looking into adding Kareem Hunt or Cam Akers into that backfield? Could they possibly do enough behind a really good offensive line for the Browns? And Stefanski, through his career, has usually had good running games. Like, can he get enough out of Kareem Hunt, who's a free agent, and Cam Akers, who fell out of favor with the Rams?
I don't think so. I think replacing Nick Chubb, and Patrick, you mentioned this yesterday. You said you thought Nick Chubb was the best running back in football. I don't think too many people would argue with you, and if they were, they'd say he's 1B. I just don't think you can replace a player of his caliber and talent and consistency. And the other thing I love about him, he's kind of like Amari Cooper. No ego. The guy just goes out there and grinds every day. That's what you want out of a star, and that's exactly what he is. This is a huge, huge blow.
Quick, tell me what Nick Chubb sounds like when he talks. Exactly. You can't. There's nothing. Like, he's not on social. He's not popping off. He hardly says anything after the game. It's crazy when you mentioned it earlier. I got deja vu with Todd Gurley. What's up with these studs at Georgia having terrible and horrific injuries?
Robert Edwards
so
as well.
Promise. Edwards is a great one as well. When you think about it, so Kareem Hunt, the big guy mentioned it as far as, and yes, if it feels like we're stalling to get to New Orleans, Carolina, that's for good reason. Woof! We'll get to it in just a bit. And I might be the most, my prediction of Bryce Young being a stud and being a superstar if he was 3 inches taller might be so far off, I'm an idiot. We'll get to that in just a bit. Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, his name has been bantied. Cam Akers, Sean McVay hates Cam Akers with a passion. He can't wait to trade him. Jonathan Taylor's still out there as well, boys. So what do the Browns do? I'll throw it to you.
Well, I don't, you know, Jonathan Taylor, I don't mind the acquisition, but I'm not giving up a first round pick like the Colts did to get Trent Richardson many, many years ago. Maybe if you can give up a third round, I would make the move. I think it would be a great acquisition if you can get him. By the way, real quick on your Bryce Young comment, Patrick, you are not kayaking that boat alone. There are many people, including myself, in there. As a matter of fact, we're taking on water as we speak right now because we've exceeded the weight limit on that one.
Not me.
When did, and this is for, big guy, this is for you. When did Frank Reich become Chuck Knoll? Because your boy looks so confused on the sideline last. And that is your boy, Dustin. Frank Reich is your boy.
I was a big Frank Reich guy. There might be a chance Frank Reich doesn't have a clue what he's doing.
Frank Reich is a legitimate donk. Is Carolina right now the worst team in football? We'll return and talk about New Orleans, Carolina next. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're back with another week of football. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single day. New customers, check this out. $5, $200 instantly in bonus bets. Again, football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the DraftKings app now and sign up with the code SHARP. New customers, $5, $200 instantly in free bets. Can't beat it. Only DraftKings Sportsbook, an official betting partner of the NFL. Use that code SHARP. The crown is yours. You know what? We should have the discussion. New Orleans, they start off 2-0. I was thinking about it when the game, again, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I had no clue that your boy Allen had never won back-to-back games, which is fascinating. He does now. New Orleans starts 2-0. A late cover, it, again, lands on that 3. So a late cover with the 2-point conversion and some garbage time yardage by Carolina. 2017 lands on 3. We should have the conversation, though, Amal Shaw, about Bryce Young. And then, as you aptly pointed out during the break, let's have a broader conversation about what you're getting from the quarterback position with the transition from Alabama, where the skill is so accelerated, to the NFL, where the skill starts to even out. First off, though, what'd you see from Young? 153 passing yards, just 239 total. He was sacked 4 times last night.
Look, we had concerns about this Carolina offensive line coming into the season based on what we saw in the preseason. But as we were discussing during the break, it wasn't the pressure. It wasn't the errant throws. It was when there was not enough pressure in his face to warrant a bad throw. You're like, hey, this doesn't look like the same guy that played in the college level or the collegiate level in his efficiency and effectiveness. And I get Alabama has the great offensive line and receivers, but man, just Bryce Young didn't seem like the same guy. And I mentioned to Dustin during the break, Patrick, that in college, you don't have DBs coming off their receiver to go where the ball is. At the NFL level, last night we saw Marshon Lattimore almost had a pick coming off of his receiver and then jumping a route, almost had an interception, a couple of drops by the Saints on some INT opportunities. As of right now, the early returns for me on Bryce Young are not good. But again, it's 2 games, too early to make a judgment or to make a decision on him. But what I've seen out of the Carolina Panthers, I'll tell you one thing. They're going to wind up with a top 10 pick. Their defense is good, but the offense is bad, and they got to go offensive line.
For New Orleans, Derek Carr was horrific in the first half. Olave, those wide receivers, and we were talking about Harrison, who's up next, Ohio State. These wide receivers are ridiculous. A beautiful 42-yard reception along the sideline. 6 for 86, Olave. Derek Carr was better in the second half. I mean, the story here was their defense. The rookie and Tony Jones Jr., who replaced Jamal Williams at running back, hit 2 rushing touchdowns. Also, a nice little usage and implementation of Taysom Hill, who had 75, I believe, on 9 carries. Yeah. So a nice little mixture. Saints defense a little bit better than I thought, and I thought they'd be very, very good. However, it's Tennessee, it's Carolina. We can pump the brakes a little bit. Their schedule will tighten up, big guy. But a nice little start for the Saints at 2-0.
Yeah, a couple notes from that game. One, number closed at 3. There was a brief period of time where you could have gotten 3.5, and I think there's a lesson to be learned there. It's a home divisional dog in a standalone primetime game. Sometimes you just have to have a principle of I'm betting this number. I think the Saints are better, but I could have gotten 3 and a hook versus 3 and just fire on that 3 and a hook. I think Amal would agree with me on that.
Well, yeah.
Blindly, obviously, but.
No, here's the thing, though, I would push back with. They're 1 missed 2-point conversion away from not even having this conversation.
Fair. Secondly, Carolina better figure it out because they can't draft someone in the first round next year. The Chicago Bears own their first round pick.
Oh.
That is an issue because, remember, they traded up for number one without knowing who they wanted, ended up choosing Bryce Young, and now I'm wondering if they're questioning it. This was Frank Reich after the game when he was asked if Young is handling the pressure okay.
I think Bryce is handling the pressure well. Listen, he's a quarterback, you know, head coach, quarterback, right? We're going to take the heat, and that just comes with the territory. So you own that, and you understand that when you're in that position. And Bryce understands that for the position that he's in. So I can tell you this. It's certainly, you know, our struggle on offense, it's not one person. Again, we'll look at the film, but, you know, I thought Bryce did some really positive things. Made some plays with his feet, made some good decisions, made good throws, showed plenty of things that we want to see. So was encouraged by that. I know how hard it is to play that position. I've been around it a long time, and I know how dependent it is on everything.
The two things that stood out to me, that's Frank Reich talking about the 2017 loss and Bryce Young as quarterback. Two things when they kept on panning to the sideline. One, whatever McCown brother that is that's on the offensive staff for the Panthers, okay, we get it. The dude coaches for Frank Reich. And then secondly, Bryce Young, who I agree with Amal's assessment, there was kind of just a lack of touch, even on the throws where he had time. He was just a little bit off. He seemed a little out of sorts. And the comparison, almost that juxtaposition when Young was standing next to Reich. Reich looked like a grown-ass dude, and Bryce Young just looked small. Let's go through this, though. Let's go back to your boy, Brody Croyle, who had success, ended up in the league. And then you go, what? John Parker, Wilson, McElroy. I'm just giving you an idea.
McCarron.
These Alabama quarterbacks that pop. And then once they get to the next level, A.J. McCarron, tremendous career. Blake Sims, Jake Coker. My goodness. Blake Barnett, Jalen Hurts. Okay, we're starting to get into, you know, upper echelon territory here as far as the quarterbacks. Tua, who's having a great year to start. Mac Jones, Bryce Young. But you see my point here. Amal, some pretty basic quarterbacks kind of parlayed their success at Alabama into a pro career when they weren't necessarily top-end talent.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Great job by you on your recollection of the Bama quarterbacks. And when you look at
his Wikipedia.
Well, Jalen Hurts is technically an Oklahoma quarterback, technically.
Well, hold on a second. You know, it's funny. I always see Jalen Hurts get credit for Bama, but then I'm like, Joe Burrow actually has an undergraduate degree from Ohio State, and the entire LSU, all 12 people that might be able to read from graduating from LSU, go just absolutely ape when any time he's mentioned from Ohio State. But more, getting back to your point, Mac Jones is a guy I thought he benefited from great talent around him. Devontae Smith, Najee Harris. Smith wins the Heisman. Najee Harris finished in the top six that year in the Heisman balloting. To me, when I look at the players that have been around these guys, it's outstanding. Patrick, all the guys you mentioned, for me, the best quarterback they had at the collegiate level going back since Nick Saban arrived is Tua. I thought his accuracy and what he could do was better than anyone I've seen. I would say Bryce Young was probably second, and then I'd go Jalen Hurts. But the one thing that I'm concerned with Bryce Young, and this is my gut feeling, I have nothing to substantiate this, I think this guy's been hit a couple of times, not to a level that, you know, could be detrimental to a long-term health or playing on a week-to-week basis, but the hits are way different than they were in Tuscaloosa. And Bryce Young is a small guy, and it feels like to me he's kind of escaping on throws a little bit quicker than he would have in Tuscaloosa, and that has an impact on his performance.
When you just talk about the edge, we were having this conversation during the break, but the difference, obviously, speed and just that almost universal speed on defense in the NFL.
Yep.
When Bryce Young gets the edge in college, that makes sense. When he is, these linebackers go sideline to sideline, the edges are so quick and so fast. That's kind of what you saw as far as the difference with Bryce Young last night, where he did have opportunities. You saw it with Deshaun Watson as well. It's when they start to get outside the pocket and try to get that edge, you see the speed show up in the NFL, and that could be a problem for Bryce here, Amal.
That's a great point. point by you, Patrick, and that's the difference to me, right? Remember that play he had against Texas where everyone is enamored, sidesteps the pocket, rolls to his left, and then finds a receiver in the end zone? Those plays just don't exist in the National Football League unless you're Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson. Those are generational talents with quickness and ability. And Bryce Young has got great accuracy, but we haven't seen it so far in his first two games. I know he's 22 for 33, but part of the problem in the National Football League is the way the plays are designed. Half these throws, about probably 25 of those 33 throws, are throws that are less than 10 yards that you expect every NFL starting quarterback to be able to make as long as they're not under complete duress. And I think that's the problem. You pointed it out. He's got to move the pocket a little bit because sometimes whether it's the offensive lineman or the size of the defender presents a challenge in terms of throwing over the line. The hits are bigger. The receivers are not getting open as readily as they were at Alabama. And it's the same problem, I think, with Ohio State quarterbacks. Same argument can be made for Oklahoma guys. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Are they all playing in systems where their talent is so far superior to the opposition that they look maybe better than we really think they are? Because the success of certain guys, Aaron Rodgers out of Cal, Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech. Some of these other guys have come from schools that have not had overwhelming success, but we haven't seen Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma guys pop at the next level.
Nope. Well put. Boys, quickly, we'll get to these games coming up in just a bit. New Orleans, short turnaround, head to Green Bay. A couple shops open 3, a couple 2.5. That number's down to 1.5 or 2 with Green Bay favored over the Saints. And then Carolina heads to Seattle. You know, some shops 4.5 on the opener, up to 6. I'm seeing DraftKings right now. Seattle coming off their win in Detroit, lane 6, hosting Carolina late window this coming Sunday. When we return, Mike Palm joins Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.